Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Hi, welcome to the Pool Guy Podcast Show. In this episode, I'm going to continue my talk on real estate investing. I'm going to go over some of the benefits of investing in real estate, the tax benefits, and other aspects of that. And it's just a continuation of the first part on real estate investing that I put up yesterday. And you can find that part by going to my website, swimmingpoollearning.com. On the banner, click on the podcast icon, and then you'll see the part one of this two-part series on real estate investing. Pool Service Pro. Open a Leslie's wholesale account today and receive wholesale pricing on products you use every day. Leslie's Pool Supply offers convenient locations that are open 7 days a week. Another great benefit of opening a Leslie's wholesale account is Leslie's referral program. Get referred to a customer looking for weekly pool service. Save time and money and grow your pool service route and become a Leslie's Pro. So let me go over some things that you may be wondering. You know, should you do a straight rental or should you do an Airbnb? And my thoughts are, if you're inexperienced and if you're just jumping in the market, you want to find a nice duplex or triplex to just rent straight out rent. And by the way, you have to be aware of rent control in your area. In the area that I buy in, there's a 10% cap on the rent increase every year. So if you're charging $2,000 a year, you can only go up, I think, less than that. It's like 8% in my area. So you can't raise the rent extremely high every year because of the rent control that the state has here in California. And you definitely want to consider the Airbnb versus the rental as far as how much money is going to cost for the furniture. Because I've thought about Airbnb, and the biggest thing that stops me is spending $30,000 on furniture and then hoping someone actually rents it for a week or the weekend, and trying to recapture the money on, number one, the renovation and the furniture, which can add up to like $50,000 or $60,000 if you combine both together. To me, it's just not going to work unless you buy the house that is already fully furnished. You know, sometimes you can buy that in the mountain areas here. Sometimes they'll sell a cabin that's furnished, and that's perfectly fine if you want to go that route. But to me, it's just kind of risky, and there's a lot of regulations sometimes. And in my area, there's fees you pay to the city. And then your taxes are kind of weird because I just like having the straight taxes based on the rental income minus all the deductions. And let me just touch a little bit on why rental properties are so good on your taxes. Number one, you write off your mortgage interest, that you pay every year, your property tax, your insurance, anything you put in there, HVAC, any kind of plumbing work, any kind of repairs are all deducted on your taxes. And if that property, just keep it simple, let's say that the rent's bringing in $40,000 a year in rent, and then you have all those deductions, you may at the end just show making $4,000 or $3,000 a month, or sometimes even a negative income. And that's why a lot of people don't pay any income taxes that invest in real estate, because all of those losses offset your income that's coming in from your business or from your W-2, and that offsets your tax base. So every $2,500 drops you down to another category. And if you have a rental property that you quote unquote lost $30,000 on, because you can also add in depreciation, which is about $3,000 or $4,000 a year on your property, then you have a lower taxable income. So if your taxable income is $100,000 and you have $30,000 in rental losses, your taxable income is only $70,000. And the IRS gives you that break because they like people buying real estate and having rental properties because it helps create housing, and it's much better than the government creating housing. If you live in Los Angeles, you know that I think recently they renovated like a hotel or something, and it costs like $500,000 per room for the government to create housing for people. And these rooms are just like regular hotel rooms. It's really ridiculous how much bureaucracy goes into it. And so the government knows that private individuals can do a much better job at this than the government can do. And that's why they're willing to give you tax breaks to kind of encourage you to go out there and invest.
Let me end with a few tips here on how to find something to invest in. You know, if you're looking and you want to fine tune it. The first thing, again, I mentioned, you go on Zillow. I like Zillow because you can put tags on there and you can make notes on why you like this property. And I like Zillow because they update it pretty regularly. So go on there and look at the places in your area. And again, do the simple math. You know, you may have to buy a duplex or a triplex or a fourplex. You don't want to go any, you don't want to go any higher than four units, because then it becomes a commercial property. And then you have to get a commercial loan, which is more difficult. So limit it to either two homes on one lot, a single family home that's really dirt cheap, duplexes, triplexes, or fourplexes. And of course, you're going to need to put down about 25% as a down payment if you're not going to move and live in that house. So factor that in also. So you'll need $25,000 of the purchase price on hand. And the bank's going to want you to have like $30,000 in reserve, usually about that much showing either in your bank or some kind of investment that you can withdraw from, like a 401k. So also keep that in mind. So you'll need the 25% down plus another $30,000 or $40,000 in the bank to show them that you can cover any kind of losses. Maybe not that much. For me, that's how much they require because I have multiple rentals. But for you, if you're just starting out, maybe they're going to let you get away with maybe $15,000. But you have to have some kind of reserve or the bank won't even look at you. And it has to be something that's in your account for the past 3 months. And they're going to want 2 years of your tax returns. And you should be the 2 years at the same employment. So if it's a W-2 job, they're going to want to see 2 years at the same employer. And if you're self-employed, they're going to want to see 2 solid years of your tax returns from your pool service business. So with that out of the way, you would want to go on Zillow, look at, of course, get pre-qualified too, and that's something you should do. Then you go on Zillow and look at the listings you're interested in. And then I would never click on, like, you know, you're interested in this listing, because then they're going to give you the buyer's agent that's paying Zillow to get those kind of cold calls. You want to find a listing agent, and then you take that name and the real estate license and go on Google and try to find their cell phone if it's not listed on the listing. And then you call the agent directly, and you're going to be working with the agent as the buyer, and they're going to be working with the seller. The benefit of this, of course, is the agent gets all the commission, so they're going to be willing to push your offer through. And the other benefit is you'll get some inside information, because they're acting as a dual agent. They're working for you and the seller, and they'll be able to tell you in more detail, you know, since they have the listing themselves, what the seller is looking for. And so it's really great working directly with the agent. I've never worked with a buyer's agent. I just work directly with the agent. So I've worked with multiple agents over the years, and that's the best way to get the deal done and to get the property and to kind of put your offer ahead of everyone else. And I think the hardest thing is just to get started and to do it. You get nervous, you get scared, but look at it this way. Whatever you put into the house, and I mentioned the fact that don't worry about the down payment, because you can always sell the property if you wanted to. You're probably going to lose a little bit of money if you sell in the first year, but you can also get a cash out refi and take out that down payment later if you need it. And so that money that you put down on the house, it's kind of liquid, not really liquid as far as you can pull it out at any moment, because no one's giving home equity lines of credit on rental properties. But in a year or two, you can actually refinance and get the cash out, get your down payment back out of the house. So it's kind of liquid, but not. And then, of course, if you don't like real estate or if you have trouble and you just don't like it, you can always sell the house and get your money back once you sell the house to get your down payment back. But I would say just getting started is the key. Find an area that you're going to invest in. Make sure that you can make some kind of rental income on it, and you can easily find what the rents are going for in the area. I should have said this earlier, but if you go on Zillow and then you just make the search criteria rent, you can see what people are renting that particular size house or room or size unit they're renting and how much they're charging. And just track that, save those homes, and track how long it takes for them to rent it at that price. And that's kind of how you get the area rent. I wouldn't go online and Google the area rent. It's probably not as accurate as actual rentals listed on Zillow. Some other things you can do to get ready if you're uncertain about if you're ready to jump into the real estate market. You can meet with a financial planner. They usually don't charge for a meeting, and they're more heavily geared towards the stock market. So they'll probably set you up with a Roth IRA for sure. And they'll probably ask you to do a SETH RA or another form of IRA. and they may even ask you to invest in some of the funds they have. So just note that they are more heavily involved in the stock market versus real estate, but they'll, of course, have some familiarity with real estate in some cases. You want to make sure you call and interview them on the phone and ask them how their background is in real estate, and that way you can find someone who knows kind of what they're talking about with both real estate and investing in the market. You can also get with a friend who is in your local area that has been investing in real estate. You should be able to find somebody that you know that has a portfolio in your area. And I've had members of my group call me. We talk real estate all the time. And I think it's important to talk to people that are mentors that can kind of guide you, and you can avoid some of the mistakes they've made. For example, for me, the biggest mistake that we've ever made is we bought a property and inherited the tenants, and it was all kinds of trouble with them. And so we only buy vacant properties now. And if there's a tenant in there, we want to make sure that they're going to be out by the time escrow closes. So this is something that you learn by experience. And if you find someone in your local area that can mentor you, that goes a long way. Now, I wouldn't say that a realtor can be your mentor in most cases, because they want you to be their buying agent. And I mentioned earlier that that's something that you probably don't need in most cases. You want to give the listing agent all the commission so that they push your offer to the front. So realtors are good. If you have a friend as a realtor, they're going to, of course, want to give you listings to look at. Anytime they give you a listing to look at, they become your representative. So be careful in that regard. I just think you can do a lot of research online. The Bigger Pockets podcast is a great place to go to. They have a YouTube channel, and you can just watch different real estate people on YouTube to kind of get your head around the whole concept of it, of investing. I mentioned getting pre-qualified. You want to get pre-qualified by someone in your local area that you can work with, that can make sure that you qualify for a rental. And you definitely want to save up the money for a down payment. And that's probably the biggest hurdle in most cases, is getting the money for the down payment. But if you save diligently, you can do it. And it's been done, and I've done it. Many people that I know have done the same thing. And of course, you can use equity in your house if you wanted to. But again, you just want to find the resources in your area so you're really equipped to do this. I wouldn't necessarily jump into real estate without all these resources I mentioned, the books I mentioned, and you really want to do your homework. You don't want to invest in anything you don't understand, and I mentioned that earlier. In real estate, if you don't know anything about it, you really want to know a lot or learn as much as you can. And then, of course, you want to team up with a local contractor. Everyone should know somebody who does construction. Over the years, you've run into a lot of people out there on the pool route. Find out who's a good plumber, who's a good electrician, who's a good general contractor. You're going to need all these people, HVAC. And I tend to use the same people for everything, all my services. I don't even get bids anymore. When I need some electrical work, I just call the guy that I always call. And I've been using him now for about 4 years. The plumber I use, I've been using him for many years. And I don't even worry about getting another bid either. Even though he can be a little expensive, and sometimes my wife complains about his pricing, but he's the best in the area, and it's definitely worth to get the best. So you need to have a good support structure there also in that regards. So I definitely think that you want to do as much research as possible. And if you're going to invest a large amount of money, you want to make sure you did your diligence. The same thing with your pool business. Before you do anything, before you even buy a $50 leaf rake, you definitely investigate it and research it. Or if you buy a $200 carbon fiber pole, you definitely want to make sure you're getting what you're paying for. And the same thing goes with real estate. Don't go in blind, and definitely put all the resources at your disposal. You can never have too many resources, so keep that in mind. Books, friends, other people that will mentor you. And of course, if you're in my group, I'm happy to answer real estate questions when I have time. But, do your research. Read those two books I mentioned at the beginning to kind of get a foundation. And I really think you need to invest because, again, your body's going to wear out. You can't do pool service forever. You'll start feeling the wear and tear. And since you really don't have any retirement fund by doing this, you're self-employed, you get a small amount of Social Security, of course, because everyone gets it if they report their income on their taxes. But you won't have anything substantial to replace the income you're making now. And that's the key. You want to be able to get 2 or 3 rental properties so that in the future, you'll have some way of replacing the income you're making now, and it'll be a passive income of sorts. Of course, there's problems that come up, which you can solve, but it's not something where you're actively involved at getting up at 6 in the morning and working till 3 or 4 in the afternoon. It's something that's going to give you some passive income in the future. And if you start when you're young, in your 20s or 30s, you're going to be way ahead of everyone else. You're going to do perfectly fine. So don't worry about the details that work themselves out. And just like when you started in pool service, everything was so foreign and new to you and everything was scary. That's how it's going to be in real estate. But as you go out there and get the experience, you're going to get better and better at it. You're going to find better and better deals. And you're going to refine your method. And you're going to just be really great at investing in real estate at some point. But getting started is the key. And the hardest thing to do, I think, is to get started. Looking for other podcasts I recorded, you can find those on my website, swimmingpoollearning.com. And of course, those are pool related. I have over 1,350 podcasts you can download. I talk about everything from filters, the cleaners, the business aspects. And you can find those there on my website. Again, that's swimmingpoollearning.com. And if you're interested in the coaching program that I offer, you can learn more at poolguycoaching.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Have a great rest of your day and God bless. Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer.com/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer.com/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.